Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? What kind of guy? What kind of takeoff? Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Expecting like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known, you were hating on the low. I've been known, they were hating on the low. I've been known, he was hating on the low. I've been known, she was hating on the low. I've been new, I've been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake. But it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. Are you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Cold scratching, they messy. Bitches be broke and be petty. Hate on the low and it show cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up cool with my hustle. Staying down, got me every penny. 19 have a penny. Hurt me so bad, can't forget it. Oh, no, can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it. Really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming. They know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions. I flip it for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances. I took for this spot, I put it all in the pot. Fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K. I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith. So stay the fuck out my face, Lord. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Expecting like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known, you were hating on the low. I've been known, they were hating on the low. I've been known, he was hating on the low. I've been known, she was hating on the low.
I said one time for the one time, could they hate now? Two time for the two time, cause they fake now. Three time for the three time, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight. You ain't need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Delicent every, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new, that they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window, but I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up, and you still broke. My feet up, got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it is, nigga. We get real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, I'm fresh out.
Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Expecting like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known, you were hating on the low. I've been known, they were hating on the low. I've been known, he was hating on the low. I've been known, she was hating on the low.
What's up, people?
Hey. There we go. We got another week, another show, man. It's going to be hot tonight. I cannot wait. Oh, my God. I can't wait. We're going to have the Casey Experience on tonight. She's an erotica author, and she is so sensual. And she is hot, too. Did you see her pictures?
Yes, I definitely did. I'm looking forward to this. I've been, like, pumped up all week. Like I said last week, we're going to have a real sexy show. Let's do it.
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
So, I hope everyone had an awesome week leading up to this week. Of course, we were snowed in Atlanta all week long. And then by the time the weekend came, you know, I'm a homebody. So I'm always home. I wasn't like this before, but now I'm like, I swear to God, I'm always home. And I tell myself I have to get out of the house more because this can't be healthy. Like, I mean, I pay for it, so I get my mortgage worth, right? But we were snowed in,
it.
And it was like freezing. It was like 14 degrees and wind chills negative zero. And then Saturday, it was like 60-something degrees.
Oh, and that's crazy.
I was like, are you? Because
Atlanta doesn't get that
Atlanta
cold,
what?
Right? 14 degrees. Atlanta doesn't get that cold,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, we do. We
never
get
that
cold.
Okay.
Yeah, we get that cold. We just don't have as much snow as we had this winter. Like, we had a lot
yeah.
of snow.
Okay.
This is like
New
York.
Have...
New York type.
Well, I was going to say, you guys have a lot
well,
of
not
those,
as deep.
Back roads.
Yeah, and see, so that's why I didn't go anywhere, because I travel a lot of side roads. Because there's so much traffic, and if you know the side roads, then you'll get to where you're going just that much easier. But I travel a lot of side roads, and it just definitely didn't make any sense, because there's a lot of bridges and things like that on the side road. So it definitely wasn't safe. And, you know, we had people from New York and New Jersey. You know, we have people from everywhere here, but those people were like, oh, you got 2 inches of snow, this is nothing. So here's the difference between New York and Atlanta, okay? You can drive in the snow in New York because it's going to snow, and then guess what? The next day, it's you know how to operate. Well, Atlanta,
okay.
I mean, Atlanta has ice, so you can't function in ice. Because we're not going to snow, but for so long, it's going to be a split second, and then our temperatures still are low. So it was this guy, it was this person that was driving a vehicle, and they had told us to stay off of the roads, right? But, of course, it was 2 inches of snow. He's from New York, you know, like, oh, these 2 inches, that's nothing
New York
I can drive.
New York is dry, too.
Right, that's what he thought.
Shout out to the dollar vans up here on Flatbush Avenue in Brooklyn. Anybody in New York know about the dollar vans? Yeah, go ahead.
That's what he thought. Like, you're not battling against snow in Atlanta. You're battling against ice. So he came down a hill. His car slid. He hit a light pole. He hit a
wow.
transformer. He
hit a transformer.
Knocked down a couple mailboxes.
Oh,
he
hit a transformer. Yeah, Optimus Prime.
Yeah, he messed up a lot of stuff. After he ran
okay.
into the mailboxes, he hit a couple cars, then
yeah.
he ran into the side of somebody's house.
Wait, hold on. So you saw this?
No, it was on the news. Yeah,
oh,
it was on the news.
Okay, okay,
and
okay.
so they made sure that they put, like, this guy that ran into all this stuff was from New York. Like, it's not
Damn.
The snow. It's
we
the
aggressive
ice
up
here.
In New York, we aggressive. We stay aggressive. Like, whatever we do, it's just like, we just got to go hard or just not even do it.
It was over 1,000. It was over like 1,000 accidents in one day. Like, it was like
yeah.
crazy. They're like,
that black
they're
ice
like okay,
real.
Listen. They're like,
I
listen, okay.
Goody Mob song called Black Ice. just, yeah,
we can't, we can't express this anymore. Stay off of the roads. Like, you know, it was like, I'm like, dude, they're going to make the governor come and say, okay, the whole city is shut down. If you caught on the roads, you're going to jail. Like, that's just what these idiots were going to do, because nobody was heeding the warning to stay off of the road. They still was driving.
Yeah.
But
I've heard
we
that a
stuck.
Lot. Like, everybody say, like, you know, Atlanta don't get too much snow, but when it do, even if it is a little 2 inches because of what you said, the black ice and all that.
Yep.
You know, y'all take it seriously, because it's a lot of it's slippery, you know?
Yeah, they had a lot of, and they were complaining about it. And so I'm pretty sure the next time we get snow, they're gonna have some changes, because the police were complaining that they had to go out on all of these calls, like, in one day. Imagine getting, like, 100-and-something calls in one day, let alone 1,000 calls in one day. When people had to just stay off of the road, and these calls could have been avoided. So I'm pretty sure that they're going to be prepared, and there's going to be some changes made. And nobody can blame anybody but themselves. You know, being locked in the house for a week, that's a lot. But if you're just that, you know, antsy that you have to go somewhere, then, you know, I'm sorry. You need to get some board games and some Twister at home. This won't be the last time. But that was my week, and I'm looking forward to getting out of the house tomorrow. Oh, my God. I think that I have gotten so much sleep. My skin is glowing. I'm full of energy. I am ready.
Yeah. You got that cabin fever. That's that cabin fever. You got to, like, you know?
I'm ready to get out of this house mode. Oh, my God. So Okay, so Born to Be a Trap Queen went on pre-sales this week. Hey!
Ooh,
so
congrats.
Support the book, you guys. Thank you.
Born to Be a Trap Queen.
And pre-order your book. Right now, you can only pre-order it via ebook, so it's only $2.99. It's not going to hurt you
pre-order
a book.
I'm getting like 80 joints at least.
For $2.99, right? And it'll be delivered
that's
to your Kindle on the release date of February the 9th. So, you know, support a sister. That's what we are embodying, supporting each other, trying to.
Oh, exactly. Black
you know,
excellence.
Trying to build each other instead of breaking each other down, instead of saying this is what this person's doing, or unless this person is super popular or dealing with somebody super popular, you don't really want to support them and what they do and so on and so forth. So, you know, it really just doesn't, you know, we're looking for better things in 2018. So don't forget also Confessions of a Mattress Actress, that three-book series. We have new paperback prices. So the prices went down for the paperbacks, so you guys can order the paperbacks. I'm pretty sure you're going to absolutely love those prices. That book series was like, I think it was like $19.99 a book, or $17.99 or something like that. And so for the paperback, those prices are down to
$9.99.
That's the price. That almost like chopped it in half. So just make sure you support the author, the new Miss Lovely Black, and be patient. The next project, it's coming. I am working on it. I just got to figure out which one it's going to be because I have about three that I have on board, and I have to choose one. So
like a good
thank you all for your
especially when you get all vintage and like a little worn. You know what I'm saying? Like it's been like spread around a little bit. Like, look, this book is the joint. You know, try this out and here and there. So, yeah, I'm definitely with that. And then also too, just a quick question because I know you said it's going on Kindle. Is it going to be on like I can get it like on an iPhone if I want to get the audio or the not the audio book but the you know the digital version on like my iPhone.
I'm pretty sure it's through Amazon.
Okay.
So you
okay,
know
okay,
they
yeah,
they
yeah,
deliver
be, okay.
ebook.
Okay. Yeah, that should be.
Yeah,
should
they
be
deliver ebook, and it's a short story. Like the thing, it's very short. The paperback is only going to be 70 pages, but you know it gets straight to the point. It sends a powerful message to you know my ladies that's out here making it happen, and I mean it just falls in line with the whole level up situation with Sierra. You know, people are so quick to criticize and judge you on things that you have to say, but that's why they're in the position. You can't help everybody. So
you said Sierra?
Yeah, Sierra posted, like, she retweeted a message from a pastor saying, you know, basically what I'm always saying, you have to be a wife when he finds you. You can't be a girlfriend whom he wants to turn into a wife. You have to be a wife when he finds you because he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So here's the thing. You have to level yourself up in order to be a wife to the right person. So we, as people, we fail to realize that we want a husband. We want a husband. You can't be a wife to everybody. You know what I'm
saying?
That
is true.
And when you have your mistake, you make your mistakes, and you out here, like I tell people, I'm very open. The last person I dated, I shouldn't have been dating him. There's no way in hell that I should have even had him in my life, but I did. And guess what? I ended up being pregnant. So I'm not mad at him. I'm mad at myself because I knew definitely that he shouldn't have been in my life and in my world. But I allowed him to come into my world. And now, you know, I have this as a lesson to say, you know what? I can never do that again because I know that I have to level up. I have to love me enough
level up for
to understand that when that person comes along, he's going to show me that he loves me more than anything in the world. And until that happens, then you're single. We as black women, we feel like, okay, we're successful. We have a good job. We have this. We have that. You know, and we tend to settle because that's the only thing that we have that we don't have is love, is companionship. And when we settle, that's when we go wrong. We have to learn to be by ourselves and to love ourselves. You have a lot of women out here that's sleeping with whoever, however, whenever, because they feel like they're grown, they can do what they got to do. But self-love comes when you're not going to sleep with just anybody. When you love yourself, you're going to start cleaning that thing now. You know, when I started finding myself, I was going months without having sex. And I was like, Jesus Christ, is something wrong with me? You know,
you do got to rape for the right person.
I would be hurting.
Yeah.
Huh?
You can't, know I'm saying, as a guy, too, you can't be out here too thirsty. You know, you got to make sure you find that right person.
Right. And
that's
so that's what
talk.
Her message was. And then these women went crazy and this and other. I'm like, you know, you really can't.
They went crazy
because
she giving game? Wow.
Yep. That's, and like I said, not one married woman complained about what she said. But, you know,
yeah.
It comes down to the point that when you can't help everybody. And so I had that spirit that I always wanted to help somebody. You know, at some point, for me to get to where I am mentally and et cetera, somebody got me here. So God will always put people in your life to get you to one point or another. That doesn't mean that
True.
Person needs to stay in your life. But if God sends you to help and you don't take advantage of it, then you deserve to be right where you're supposed to be. But not everybody
Fact.
Deserves help. So I done went through my help phase, and now I'm selfish. I got to focus on
now
me.
Now you're like, hold on.
So,
it's a whole new thing in 2018.
Right. You see, I'm focused on my radio. I'm focused on my book.
Yeah, we getting
when
it.
When I
we
focus on
this.
Me and I do what I have to do for me, then I don't really have to deal with worrying about who loves me. Because guess what? I love me and my kids love me, and that's good enough for me. You know?
That's it.
I mean,
that's
all I got.
That family foundation,
so
that's the major key.
It's level up. I mean, some people are married, and then, you know, it's okay, distinguished gentlemen, you know, for you, what is your take on, you know, you finding the right woman, you know, relationship or whatever situation that you got going on?
Well, you know, I am happily married. You know, shout out to my wife out here. You know, how can I explain it? It takes you really got to delve through. It's what's the word I'm looking for? It's trial and error. You know, so you go on
right.
different dates with different people, and you know, you narrow it down, and then when you finally find that one person that's got your back, you got their back, and you can build, then. You know, that's a good chance. But I will say this, definitely make sure you live your life first. You know what I'm saying? Make sure you get that out of you. Because, I mean, it's never fully out of you. I'm just going to be totally honest. I'm a kick in my savage. It's not the distinguished gentleman, although I try to be. It's the savage gentleman. But,
okay.
Yeah, a lot of times you got to get that out of you, even though it's never completely out of you, just as a man, just being real, you know. But you never want to jeopardize a good situation, you know, for like a cheap thrill. You know, you want to make sure you just ride the wave. You know what I'm saying? Don't
right.
go against the grain is how I'm going to just put it out there. But let's see here. Yeah, so like I said, it's all about trial and error. You know, you want to make sure that you definitely, you know, live your life first before you really find that true mate. And because marriage does change things. Like people say, it's like that certificate, it does something. I can't explain it. It's like a little piece of paper or whatever, but it's just a commitment. And then it's all about you can't just walk away. You know, you got to really try to work it out before – You know, like if you're dating somebody, he's just like, all right, I'm through with you. I'm down. I'm done. You know, like, I'm going to keep it moving. But when you marry, you really, you know, there's levels to it before you can just totally break up with the person. So, you know, that's my little, I guess, 2 cents right there, if I answered the question, hopefully. Yeah.
Right. Well, I've been thinking about, like, okay, so here's the thing. When you're a woman and you pretty much, you know what you want, and you're going to get it. And, like, one of my exes, he wanted me to focus more on, you know, being the wife, being, you know, being at home with the family and stuff instead of following my dreams. Now, granted, I love the man to pieces, but I wanted that balance. Like, okay, if that's
yeah.
the case, then let me not work and then let me stay home and be an author. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
I wanted
yeah,
the balance.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to be where, like, okay, you want me to go to work and come home. Because don't push me to go and work for the white man. Push me to, you know, help my dreams come
Boss
true.
Up,
and I was
get your
big
own
on
thing.
Right, I was big on writing. But I understood where he was coming from because he had enough money to take care of all of us. But I think he wasn't open-minded enough to throw that out and say, okay, it was a lot of things like I missed points on with saying, and then that should have been like, okay, if you want me home. Now, I didn't mind the cooking and the cleaning and all that stuff. I did all of that stuff, but, you know, it came to a point where I was going to work. I was coming home. I was cooking. I was cleaning. I was doing everything that I had to do, picking the baby up from daycare. And then I'm like, okay, I need some help. You know, if I'm sitting at home and I'm an author, that's different. I don't mind doing all that stuff. But when you're going out and you're draining your body, you know, working on a job, it's completely different than at home, you know, working for yourself. So
that's true.
It was just that thing. I see you, Casey. It was just that thing that I wanted him to understand. Let me follow my dreams. Let me continue to be great, right? But for me, it's like when you're a woman and you have somewhat of success in life, you know, it's hard because you get men that's intimidated. You know, when you come, you get men that are intimidated as far as me, because I'm a woman and I have my stuff together. You have men that are like older than me, or, you know, men that are, you know, trying to make things happen, and they're not where I am in life. And I don't look down on them for that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, as long as you got a job and you got a car, we're okay. Before, I would be like, oh, okay, well, you know, we all go through hard times, and, you know, what can we do, and yada yada. And then you'd be stuck in a situation with a bum. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
so those things,
I mean,
are over for me. And okay. I can't, you know, if you can't help yourself, how can I help you? And you got to help yourself as a grown individual. You should have a steady stream of income, no matter what it is. If I go out here and you know what I do, me and you had conversations like, you know, if I'm going to go out here and hustle hard, you know, why would I have a grown man
and
that's not going to hustle as hard as I am?
I feel you. And nowadays, too, just to not don't lose the train of thought, but nowadays, you know, what I'm on too is not just having one stream of income. You know, to build wealth, you need multiple streams of income, you know? Like, so that way when things slow up, you got this to fall back on and that. And that's what we gotta build as a community for, you know, African Americans out here, just teaching them the value of, like, you know, wealth and credit and having good credit and just making your money work for you. But go ahead. Yep.
Yep, level up. And so we gotta kind of level up. We gotta stop accepting so much, and we gotta love ourselves enough to not. Because when you love yourself enough, you're not gonna accept anything. You're not gonna just be like, well, you know what? All he got is penis. I got everything else, so it's okay. We gotta stop doing that. I'm guilty of that. Listen, you gotta read Born to Be a Trap Queen. I told you. At minimum, 60% of all of my books that I write are about some part of my life. And you really just have to read Born to Be a Trap Queen. You have to understand that
read it, people.
There are those that come that slide through the crack that can be awesome, and you feel like, oh, okay, maybe I want to try. You got men that will try to break you down emotionally, just verbally, to try to make you deal with them, and it's kind of like, you know, I'm the wrong person because I'm way too strong. So any type of verbal abuse will make me not ever in life want to deal with you. But let me go ahead and bring Casey on the line because she just called in. Hey, Casey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I was just enjoying this conversation about leveling up. I'm like totally co-signing on all of that. For us ladies, we got to check ourselves. We have to value ourselves in order for someone else to value us. So I'm co-signing all of that.
Yes, ma'am. They have to understand it, and you know what? I try to give them jewels, and I, you know, you have to drop them in so many ways, but you can't help everybody. But you know, we all have been through it. And I say it over and over again. We all, as women, we've been through it. Especially women that's finding ourselves, and you know, we can be successful in every other aspect of our life except love. You're going to go through a lot of trials and tribulations.
This is a lot of trial and error, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of crying and snotting. Yes, Lord. But, you know, I think if you take the time to assess each one of those situations, again, you're going to find I did not value myself enough. Kind of like you said, you know, you can't continually say that it's okay that he's only got A, B, and C when you aspire to D, E, and F. You know, you got to have somebody
yep.
who's aspiring to what you're aspiring to. Otherwise, like you said, you're stuck where they're at, and then you're miserable. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I we do have to sit back, assess. And I'm going to say that for both men and women, because men are out there, too, dating every chick that, you know, looks good. And if that's your thing, if you just want to date, that's all good. That's fine. That's cool. But if you claim to want to be with someone, you can't date every chick that comes by just because she looked good and said yes, because there's a lot of us
yep.
out there that look good and say yes. No lie. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, men just as much as women have to know what they really want. You know, you can't – just because she's cute – and she let you take her out, don't mean she's the right one.
Yep.
That's true.
You got some
men
that target those type of women. They want the bad bees. They want the chicks that look this and look that. They don't have nothing going for themselves. But them the chicks that they aspire to have, but you get you a nice young woman that's not aspiring to be that walk out the house with no makeup on, that can possibly have natural hair in her head, and you ain't what you need to be. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is that, lady, the sad part is that a lot of women have low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
That's why these women getting these surgeries and getting all this stuff added.
Yeah.
That's a self-esteem
issue. Ooh,
like,
and I'm totally – I don't want to lose your train of thought, but I'm totally against that. Like, this whole – sometimes it works. Like, every so often it works, but more often than not, it doesn't, you know? So it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that especially, you know, what just makes me so upset, you know, looking at certain women that do that, especially, like, when you were fine anyway. Like, you were, like, beautiful, naturally beautiful, and then you,
mm-hmm.
you know, you do something, and now you trying to get it right because it didn't come out the way you thought it was, and like you're constantly going back to fix it. You know, like I can't stand that. Like, please, like, women, don't. If you at the strip club or whatever, and you looking at this, and you trying to get extra money or what, like, don't augment your body. You know, like to do that. You know, like I'm just not with that. Then people,
uh-oh.
And especially in like New York, I'm real quick. In New York too, like, these women is going to the Dominican Republic and these doctors, and you just you don't even know if they qualify like that. You just, all right, you know, they got the hookup down there. I can afford it.
Right.
And they getting their whole thing done, and it's just like, you know, so just be easy with that, you know? I don't want to promote that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to promote that. I don't want to be looked on as a person that's looking at that. You know, like, sometimes it works. Don't get me wrong. But more often than not, it doesn't.
But that yeah. goes to the whole feed of the self-esteem issue. And, you know, men pay on that, you know. And so here's the thing. You never know a person till you get involved and bodied with them. And when you get involved and bodied with a person, you start to really see what type of person that is. I had an ex that was so verbally abusive that he thought that he would play on my self-esteem in order to get me to deal with him. You know, he told me I was ugly. He told me I was fat. He told me nobody else would want me. He told me I'd never get the guy that I was supposed to have, that I wanted to have, because nobody would like me. He told me all of these things, and guess what? I laughed at him. I said, so here's the thing. The women that you normally say this to, they probably beautiful women, and they probably feel like you are telling them the truth. But me, I have no problem whether I got weight on me or whether I don't have weight on me, pulling whoever I want. That's the sad part that you have to realize. You got men out here dealing with BBW, supersized BBWs, and all types of things. You got men out here dating girls as ugly. Look at a Fetty Wap, main chick, Yaya. She not pretty. You know what I'm saying? So there's nothing that a person can tell me about Yaya. There's nothing that a person can tell me about my self-esteem. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing that a person can tell me that will make me feel like I need somebody in my life. But you know what he did? He solidified the fact that I'll never deal with him again. He made sure that it was in concrete that I would never in life deal with you again, no matter what it is, no matter what we have together, no matter how we got it together, child, no child, whatever, we will never, ever in life deal with each other again, because you're weak and you've shown me that I'm stronger than you. And you can't leave me if I'm stronger than you. Because if you have to go and call shots and try to lower someone's self-esteem to be able to deal with you, that means that you are a weak ass, you're a weak liability. You're not even an asset. You're a weak liability to that team. Ladies, you have to know your self-worth and your value. You have to know when to acknowledge when something is right for you and when something is not right for you. Nobody in this world is perfect, but you can still be who you are and be awesome at it regardless who's in your life or not. That's what I wanted to say. We're going to get into this freaky stuff. So, you know, when y'all get me into this self-empowerment and this woman, you know, listen, ladies, you know, I'm with y'all, and I get lost in the sauce. But
I like to be around strong women. Like that's like I love that. You know, I come from a family of strong women, so like to hear y'all talk that, I'm with it. All I gotta do is just sit back and just, you know, just listen. I'm soaking up game from y'all, you know, to be honest.
But the that same know your self-worth also kind of transcends into the change of topic, into the freaky, into the erotica,
because
a woman taps into her sexual energy, there ain't nothing anybody can say to her because she'll feel her own power at that point.
And that's, you know what? I wish I could do my little symbol. My little symbol is like the red pyramid with two periods. You know what I'm saying? So whenever I post that symbol, that means I'm vibrating on a higher level. You know, that means I'm taking it back to Egypt, and I'm like, I'm all, my third eye is open. So I just wanted to say that, like, before you continue, like, because that's an energy that a lot of people don't know about, you know, and I was reading your bio and everything, because you know what, we're going to get into it, and I'm feeling where you're coming from. So with that being said, just let the people know what you're all about.
Well, excuse me. I am an erotic author of about 8 short stories. And so I want to first say congratulations to you, my dear. You have got to
let
me read an excerpt from your latest on my show. So whenever you're ready, you let me know. I'm going to drop you in on the schedule because, you know, I started a show called Casey at Night about a year ago in January. And I started it because it is very hard to promote erotica. A lot of people don't want to touch it. They're afraid of what you're going to say, what you're going to show, what you're going to do. And so since these airwaves are still free, I thought, let me get on the air and share what I do. After doing it for about 2 months, I'm like, you know what? There's a bunch of us out here doing this. Let me share what they do and just bring the exposure. I've got a fairly decent Twitter following, so that has evolved into a thing where a year later people, you know, are actually looking forward to the show. And so doing things like this with you allows me to exchange with your people exchange with my people, and just kind of further what each of us are doing. I also am working on I'm distracted by the football game.
Go ahead.
I apologize.
Yeah, let me know. I mean, you can let me know the score, you know, because I got it off, but, you know, let me know.
Who are you rooting for? Because
You know,
Vikings 7, Eagles 38. I'm not happy about that right now.
Oh, it's over. It's a wrap. I predicted New England versus Philly. That's why I'm not watching it, because I already know Philly.
I was not feeling that. I'm not feeling that. I am not a New England fan, and I know they were going – but anyway, we digress. I'm sorry.
Okay,
that was my bad.
Okay.
I should.
All right, it's all good.
I'm sorry. I digress. But I'm also doing the Benchwarmers Live show with James Acevedo.
Nice.
I believe you're familiar with James.
Shout out. I was following him. That's how I got hip, you know, to be honest with you, to this new lovely bike and, you know, this whole movement y'all got going on. Like, I just followed him on the web. And real quick, just shout outs to him. You know, I don't think you know who I am or whatever the case may be, but I was just noticing, no, because honestly, like, I'm going to be, like, since we, like, in the trust tree and we all just kind of, you know, on our talking about, you know, just different topics or whatever, adult entertainment, like, I've always felt a kind of wave with that, you know, because it's so taboo, but, like reading the excerpts and stuff like that is so, like, frowned upon and stuff like that. So, anyway, long story short, I don't want to go on a tangent, but I noticed James, I can't pronounce his last name. I'll get it eventually. Acevedo. Yeah, he would have different interviews with certain adult, you know, stars. So I would listen. And, you know, I was kind of inspired, like, look, you know, like, if he's got that platform, I would like to have, you know, a similar platform like that as well, and just give these adult actresses, because it's all art to me, you know, a platform to talk about it. So that's it. So shout out to him.
Yeah, and you know,
and that was my sporadic co-host. So
That's what he said. That you know, he was like, "I'm so glad you're going to be on the show," you know, and I'm so glad she found herself a host, because I wasn't quite there like I should have been. But yeah, James is a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun. Right. He's a nutty New Yorker, and I absolutely love that. But I was going to say, I'm also getting ready to work on, and this is an interesting thing. So most authors don't always, as I say, stand alongside their book. A lot of these erotic authors don't stand alongside their book. You wouldn't know them from a can of paint. You could buy the book from them at Barnes & Noble and not even know they wrote the book. And one of the things that I had decided to do was to stand in front of my book, to literally represent what I write and be okay with doing that, which has taken me on this journey to where I'm now getting ready to I'm now getting ready to photograph people's fetishes, their fetish fantasies,
wow,
if you will.
Dope.
And I decided that this is something I have no intentions on being nude. I have nothing against nudity, but it's not what I think needs to happen. People have all kinds of fetishes that require you do not have to take your clothes off. And there are so many of these fetishes based on just the people who I talk to on Twitter that I'm like, this is an opportunity. First and foremost, there's not that many black women doing this. And there aren't that many people catering to the fetishes that are, say, non-sexual. So it's an opportunity for me to tap into a market that's not being fed. So that's one of the things I've got coming up for 2018 that I'm actually very excited about.
Nice. Okay. Definitely. All right. So just getting into it too, Casey Carter, let me just ask you this question. First and foremost, for the people that's out there, shout out to the 15 different countries that we're in. Where are you from?
I was born in Jamaica Hospital, Jamaica, New York, baby. Yes.
Oh, so you're a New Yorker. Okay.
I am a New Yorker, yes. I grew up in both New York and Connecticut, so I claim New York.
Okay, all right. And so how many books do you currently have right now?
There are 8 stories available. For this year, I've got 4 more planned.
Okay.
So, yeah, and they're available on Amazon. If you just search Casey Carter, you will find my stories. And they vary in terms of intensity.
Intensity. Okay, let's talk about it. So, let's see, I'm trying to think which way you would want to go. Like, so, all right, for the people out there, what was, like, your first book? And then, you know, what was the inspiration to be able to, like, you know what? I'm going to do this as a writer. You know, I've been having this idea. I'm going to get it going. You know, so I guess touch on that if you can.
Well, the first book I wrote was called Open House. I did a soft release in December of 2014. I did the official release in February 2015 on Amazon. And Open House is, I want to say, is loosely based, not necessarily on my life, but on aspects of my life. Open House is about a woman by the name of Kendra Whittingham, who is a real estate broker in Central Florida. And she is, I don't want to say she's a freak, because that's, I think, cheap. That cheapens what she is. She is a very strong woman, both in business and in the bedroom. And she likes a strong man. She doesn't, you know, she's not going to have the same level of excitement with someone who is quote unquote a sub. You've got to be on that same level as her in terms of power and the energy that you give off. She loves her car. She drives a Z06. She likes likes going fast. She's all about the money, but she's aggressive, but she's aggressive in the sense that she's a woman with power.
Okay.
And so that was my first story, and I released it not because I really was looking to do it. I started writing stories at a time in my life where I was separating from my husband, and it was an outlet for how I was feeling at the time. And I know that doesn't quite make sense because it was a sad moment in time, and most people don't necessarily write erotic stories at that moment.
We were just talking real quick. Don't lose your train of thought.
Go ahead.
Me and Miss Lovely Black, we were just talking about how, like, you know, and I love that she's around. I love that I'm just, you know, right here with two just awesome erotic writers, you know, at this or just writers in general. But anyway, we were just talking about how, like, whatever you're going through, how you can just turn that into inspiration, you know? So, you know,
right.
Shout out to you for doing that.
Yeah. So I spent some time. As a matter of fact, once I got over the initial sadness of it, I spent a lot of time getting very comfortable with myself. Not so much the being alone aspect, but the being with me. And that's where these stories came from, getting comfortable with me, getting comfortable with my sexuality, and I just poured it all out onto paper. And so I have, to this day, I probably have 20 stories that I started, 20 different ideas, aside from what's already out that I started and just haven't gotten around to finishing because I've been trying to build the fan base. But, you know, what you'll find is a series of stories that range from fetish, BDSM, to fantasy, role-playing, costumes, you know, romantic. And I've got them color-coded by something I created called a sexual rainbow. So you'll,
talk about
if you
that.
Look at, okay.
Talk about
so
that. Wait, hold
you,
on real quick. Like I said, I just want to just chime in real quick.
Yeah.
But I think because I was reading, like I said, your bio, I was reading a little bit about that, and I think mine is black. You know what I'm saying? Mine,
all right,
well,
then let's start.
Flashes are red
every
there. So often, but it's black. You know what I'm saying? Black,
let's
black,
start
black.
There. First and foremost, you can be multiple colors. It's kind of like a personality. If you've ever taken a personality test, you have a dominant personality, but then there are other, you can have other traits of, you know, other different types of personalities. And so the sexual rainbow was kind of the same thing. You are not necessarily one color.
Okay.
So let me first back up and say there are 11 colors in the rainbow. They range from black to white. And in no particular order, you've got black, red, orange, brown, purple, yellow, white, pink, green, blue, and gray. Okay? So, you know, as I mentioned, you mentioned you were a black. So,
yes.
The black is your extreme end of the fetish where you are into, or extreme end of the rainbow, where you're into BDSM, bondage, sadomasochism, dominance.
When you say that, hold on. What's that, the second one? What's that?
Sadomasochism? Okay,
yeah,
so
like,
it's really two things.
Explain that for the people who maybe don't know.
Okay, so you've got the sadist and the masochist. The sadist is someone who likes to inflict pain. You get pleasure from inflicting pain. The masochist likes the pain. They receive pleasure in getting pain. So, for example, someone who is a submissive likes to relinquish their power to someone who is their dominant. Just for the sake of simplicity, the dominant would be the sadist, the submissive would be the masochist, and the two, they have this power exchange in which the sadist, the dominant, will inflict pain upon the sub, the masochist.
Okay.
And that's how they get off. And oftentimes it can be non-sexual. Literally, they can both have orgasm without penetration just from this experience.
You know what? Because, I mean, I think my fetish, I'm just going to put this out there. I like not to wear one, but I like leashes and I like boots, heels. You know, like it's something about those two things combined on a woman that's just like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? So
this is what I'm talking about when I say catering to people's non-sexual fetishes. There are people who like to look at women's calves. Like they get off.
I know, right? It's interesting, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And so, so my Casey Carter journey has taken me to this place where I'm seeing that people get off on all kinds of things, and rather than kind of turn your nose up at what a person enjoys,
try to
I
understand
actually get,
it, I guess.
Well, as best I can, but I get off on the fact that they get off on whatever this may be. Like, for example, I had a gentleman send me a message on Twitter. He just randomly started chatting, and he wanted to explain to me how he had his scrotum removed and removed and replaced with silicone balls. I'm like, I'm sorry, you did what?
What?
Okay. And so I asked him why. He said because he wanted to be able to give pleasure without the distraction of his own excitement.
Yeah, that's extreme. But yeah, hey, but look, at the same time, like, everybody's different. Everybody's built differently too. You know, like, that's deep. That's deep.
Exactly.
Okay.
So while
okay.
I couldn't quite understand doing that,
yeah.
I had to also understand I'm not a submissive. That's where he lives, is in that
place.
Yeah,
that's true too.
So,
like that, maybe that's why I can't understand it, because I'm looking like, what the hell are you doing? You know what I'm saying? I'll be like, hold on, man. Like, if he was a friend of mine telling me, like,
right.
confide, like, look, I think I'm about to chop my balls off. I'm be like, yo, dude, don't do that. Like, you might wake up and wish you didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? So, but I, you know, like I said, because I think don't think that way.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is I had to get over my own, to go, wow, what would I do for the sake of giving pleasure? What's the extreme thing I would do in order to do that for someone? Cause I'm like, that's deep right there. That's real deep.
That is. That's like, whoa.
So, you know, going back to the sexual rainbow,
okay.
The cover of all of my stories is the background is a specific color, whether it's black, red, green, blue, orange. That's your indicator.
I'm noticing that. Okay.
Of the intensity of the story.
I'm looking at it on my iPad. Okay, yeah. I get it.
That's
nice.
Your immediate, this is going to be, this is going to be. Yeah, that's kind
of. I think
another
color of mine would be gold. But yeah, just random.
Another color would be gold. Okay,
yeah.
Well, we may have to find a place for that. But as of right now, that's not on my rainbow. But hey, you can have your own set of colors and be all good with that.
Okay. Nice.
That's kind of where the stories came from. It started off as just kind of an emotional outlet, and since then I have been kind of, you know, well, there's another, and this is kind of also to tap into Ms. Lovely Black here. I've tried to have authentic experiences to put on paper. So, like, for example, her stories, based on what I can gather, some authenticity to the backgrounds, the subject matter.
Right.
You got to talk about it. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You want to go through it, because that's what people can feel you.
Right. It comes across on the page. When I can close my eyes and remember a moment and put that on paper, people feel that versus this is
exactly.
what my
that's
imagination thinks it is.
Wow, right.
That is
you
true.
Know, my here's my touch point with it. When comedians get on stage and they talk about their everyday life, right, it's funnier, right, because you're talking about you and what happened in your life. Your message can come across, because believe it or not, when you think that you're the only one that went through something, there's somebody out there that's going through the same thing. So when you put your life experiences, you have people to relate. Maybe not everybody, but you'll have some that will relate more than others, and it will be able to come across in a better way as opposed to just making up a story. And then somebody's like, I wonder if it's true or whatever. So all of my stories in my books are real. The names are changed, and some of the locations are changed. But that's the only part about it. It's all experiences that I've had in life that I put on paper, and it makes it easier for me to write.
Exactly, which makes them more authentic. Now, that's not to say, because I've got some friends that do fantasy stuff, so let me just quickly.
Okay.
That's
okay.
not to diminish pure fantasy sex stories, because you know, they've taken it
it's
to
a fantasy
some other
too.
Far
I mean,
off place.
That's something that you that might be something that you that like you know you're thinking about and damn, I just want to fulfill that and you know eventually hopefully you know you can fulfill that fantasy if that's a true fantasy that you want to do. So yeah, no, but like I said, when you've actually done it, that's when it just comes across so real. And like you said, as a that's why I love reading. You know, and I love music. I'm going to tell you two things that I really love a lot because my imagination can just wander is reading different things. And I love, and, you know, I'm somewhat of a writer myself. Like, you know, I haven't done anything major, but, you know, I do kind of write my journal. And then I do, I have a screenplay that I've been working on for, you know, a few years or whatever. I get to it every so often. It's kind of like a little hobby of mine. But what I'm getting at is, and then I like a lot of like self help books, and then I like a lot of you know Donald Goins. Like he's been, I don't know if you're familiar with Donald Goins. I'm sure you maybe probably have being an author, but Donald Goins has been one of my favorite go to authors. And he was like in he was really popular in like the 70s or whatever. But anyway, when you know just as a person that's reading his stories, like you can kind of just you know it's so vivid how you can just your imagination just runs wild when it's just a really intense story, you know, and like you can just go with it. And that's the same thing with music. That's why I love, and to this day, like rap music is just so, I just vibe to it so often because people are, it's just poets, it's poetry and it's rhythm. And it's just so, it's us as a culture, you know, like the rap music is the most authentic thing out there to me because you can just, you know, your imagination can just run free, you know, as opposed to film when you're seeing it. Like a good film, like don't get me wrong, I like to see a good movie, but a good song or a good album, I'll vibe to all day. Just, you know, random, but yeah.
No, you just went somewhere. That's why I was just dead silent. Like, I don't want to get in his way right now.
I have a question for you, Casey.
Building. Yes, okay. Ma'am, what you got for me?
I have a question. So,
go for it.
Let the listeners know, as far as the ladies, and men as well, if someone, what do you think it takes to get your partner to open up in the bedroom? So, as you say, you know, we come from different, you know, walks of life, and this person may have this fetish, that person may have that fetish, right? And I did porn from 2009 to 2013. And in doing porn, I found this to be so true. And most men that reach out and contact you, these are men that have wives at home but feel like their wife will look at them in a certain way if they let her know that they had a foot fetish or if they let her know they had a, you know, whatever type of fetish that there was, a strap-on fetish. And so I have women that ask me like, you know, well, I don't want to do or tell me that they don't want to do a threesome with their mate because if they do a threesome with their mate, then, you know, they think he would not respect them anymore. So what is your input to the women and men out there? How do you get your mate involved in the fetish that you have? And, you know, how do you – what do you say to people, you know, that want to open up in the bedroom but don't know how?
It's funny you ask. I actually get this question a lot. And it all starts with communication, period. No matter what, you've got to find a way to communicate. So, for example, I have a follower on Twitter who's into pegging, but he has not told his wife. And so I asked him, well, why not? He says, well, I'm not sure how she's going to feel about that. I said, well, did you ever think about asking her if there was something she'd be interested in doing? Dead silence. No, I never thought about that. I'm like, why don't you do that instead of worrying about your fetish? Why don't you ask her if there's something interesting she'd like to try? And you may find out that she's hiding something as well that, you know, she's been thinking about or not really sure about. And, you know, get her talking. Get her comfortable with the idea of sharing that taboo thing. And it may not be all the way taboo, but for her, it could be taboo. So, you know, he was like, okay, then what? How do I get to what I want? By giving her what she wants. That's how you get what you want.
Yeah, that's true. It's give and take.
You know, you start with what she wants because you're too afraid to just step to her and say it. So start with her talking, and then you're going to find out, you know, maybe she is into something and maybe she's not. If she's not, then you know you might not be able to talk to her about it. I don't necessarily recommend you go off and do it somewhere else, but maybe you find a way to engage in something a little lighter than what your fetish is. Maybe, you know, let's say you're people who only do it on the weekends or you're only doing it at night. Let's maybe try to do it in the middle of the week or during the day or
in a car.
Or in a car or on the patio if you have a house with a fence or whatever. Or, you know, maybe get a hand job in the car, in the garage if that makes you comfortable. But just getting to the idea of first and foremost talking, you have to communicate. Some of the best sex I've ever had was because we talked about some stuff beforehand. Literally.
That's true.
Some of the highest energy came because there was a conversation before this moment in time where, ooh, you know what I want to do? You know what I want to try? You know what might be interesting? But I was comfortable. Right. I was comfortable talking. I was comfortable saying to this person, because that's another thing. You have to be comfortable enough with that person to put yourself out there, because this could be very embarrassing. You could have the person you've been married to for 20 years spaz out on you, and you're like,
that's true.
Okay.
That's true. And look, with black women, look, I mean, I'm not into it, but, you know, pegging, that's. I'm not knocking it for the people that are all.
It's huge.
That's you know what I'm saying? That's
huge.
Deep, asking a black woman to do something like that.
So, ladies, let me give you this one. Would you rather peg your man at home and know that he's safe and he's coming home to you every night and you can keep his secret? Or would you rather him be pegged out in the streets by another man or another woman that don't care about his well-being and his safety and then to put your life at risk? Here's the flip side to everyone's fetish. When you love someone, you love them wholeheartedly. And I speak very open and candidly about relationships, and you should be open to either A, if you don't want to have a threesome with him, then give him that day. You know, whether it's, you know, a couple times a year, whether it's once a month, give him that time to go out and do whatever he wants to do. Because asking a man to only sleep with one woman for the rest of his life is like saying, here's pizza. This is your favorite food. Eat this for the rest of your life
every single day.
You can't
do that. And let me tell you, I would even then say, if you really want to get him going, go to a swinger spot, and you need to be there and watch.
Right.
In Atlanta,
let him have his fun,
huh?
Ladies. Like, let him live his life. Be open and be open to the things that he likes to do. Because if my man comes home and he finally says, "Hey, I like pegging, and I never knew it," I'm not gonna say, "Oh, you gotta go." I'm gonna peg the hell out of his ass. We're going to the sex show together. We're gonna pick out strap-ons together. We're gonna do everything. We're gonna watch video together.
Let's be honest though. There are some women who are gonna be like, "Ooh, okay, I'm not really sure about that." That's where you're gonna have to ease up into this joint. Maybe you don't strap it on just yet. Maybe you take your toy and you just get comfortable putting in, because there are some women who are going to be thoroughly appalled by the idea, because they're going to think their man is gay because he wants you to peg him. You know what I'm saying? So
here's the level up portion of that now. It's the flip side of that.
All right.
You could have you a good man. That man get up and he go to work. That man makes sure that this household is taken care of. You don't want for nothing. That man helps you chase your dreams. That man tells you he loves you. That man buys you roses. That man does everything that he's supposed to do. Are you going to leave your man because he got a fetish that you are taboo with? No.
Some of y'all will, but that's where you need to level up at
and understand that, guess what? By now, you should see being single sucks, right?
It sucks. There's nothing out here.
It's kind of like a never-ending cycle. When you find that, the thing is to find that person that you can 80-20. You got to find your 80-20. And once you find your 80-20, you got to stick with it. And so for me, it was like, I think I found my 80-20, and I let them go, you know? And I let them go. And I wasn't the person that I am today, though. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't her. So I didn't pay attention to the things that I should have paid attention to.
Right.
And you know what? For the life of me, that I would not, I wouldn't, if he came back 2 months from now, I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? If he came back a month from now, I'm ready. Because I know now what I didn't know a year ago.
Right.
And I let him walk
and
out
a lot
of my
of
life.
Us,
you know what I'm saying?
And,
so,
but check this out. There's a lot of women who never met, who never had that aha moment. They never have that realization. And they
now, when you say aha,
it.
Talk, you know, for the people that's listening, explain that aha moment.
The aha moment is when you know, you kind of put things together. You kind of you realize the mistakes you've made. You realize the things that work and don't work, and you're like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you literally, it's a literal aha. That's what
that
they
would
meant.
Make sense.
That's what they were talking about. It's a literal kind of expression. And so, you know, to Ms. Lovey Black's point, if she says she wasn't ready then, there's a lot of us who aren't even woman enough to say, I wasn't ready. Because
yeah,
I can tell you now that getting divorced was the best thing for me. In that moment, I didn't want to break up my family. I didn't want to fail at my marriage. But getting divorced freed me and allowed me to become the person that I was. But even in that moment, even from that day to today, I've gone through some phases and some changes and some aha moments where I had to be honest with myself. I had to correct and adjust, and so that I could be who I need to be comfortable with who I am, and own that joint so that I don't attract the wrong thing. Because I've done online dating and I've looked at some of them profiles. Women are scrolling through men because they're saying the wrong things. You're attracting the wrong thing. So before you can do all of that, you got to have that kind of aha realization of this is who I am, this is what I want. And to the point that we made earlier, you can't settle. You can't take a dude just because dude said, hey, you want to go out. Unless, of course, you just want to go out for drinks and stuff, and okay, fine. But if you're looking to do a long-term thing, if you're looking to be in a relationship in which the man can say, I want you to peg me, or in which you can say to him, hey, babe, you think maybe we could call in another dude and can do a little something-something, or maybe we could get together with another couple, or maybe we could go to a dungeon and you can flog me.
Yeah, because you know what? That's the reason why, like, so many there's so many divorces out there is because of communication. Because, like, you know, you try to talk to your mate, you try to tell the person, look, that's what I'm into. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it may be. Like, I can't really just be with one female, or I can't, I just need an open relationship, or whatever it may be. Like, to the extreme that you just said, if the guy comes on that level with the, I can't even say that word.
Pegging.
I'll
say it for you.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there you go. You know, but it's all about communication. So, but that's why divorce happened, because, you know, you may speak to your mate or your partner or whatever the case may be, and then they, like, shun it so much. Now you're just going to go out there and get it how you get it. You know what I'm saying? From someplace else. And then when it's the fan, then that's why it's a divorce, because, oh, now you cheated, or now it is. And, you know what I'm saying? So, but if you're honest with each other from jump and, like, look, this is what I'm into. This is my mind flow. Like, you know, I feel this. This is just me, you know? Like, either it's going to work out, or, like you said, like, you know, then you may have to move on. But a lot of times it could work out if the communication is there, you know?
Right.
You guys can meet on the same level.
And seeing if you're in a committed relationship, if you're a married couple, you may have to, like I told this gentleman, you may have to baby step your way into this. You may not be able to jump in both feet. You may have to tip your toes in, feel the temperature of the water, and walk in a little bit at a time, you know, because you obviously hooked up with this person because you felt something for them. So you can't now turn your back on them because you went, like, full on in. You dove in cannonball style with, hey, I like getting pegged. Let me get you this strap on. And she's like, I don't even know what that means. You know what I'm saying? So you may have to. And this is why you may, for the guy who wants to get pegged or wants to, for the guy who wants to be, you know, strapped up to a cross and spanked and flogged and whatever. I mean, because even that might have a woman going, you want a what? You know what I'm saying? Anything that seems outside the norm. Because, you know, for a lot of us, you know, so pegging for some people is wild and crazy, but being, you know, having a ball gag in your mouth and being tied down, blindfolded, and having hot wax poured on you and then flogged off, you literally are going to have people going, I'm sorry, ball gag, wax, and flogging? What?
Fiction.
Right. Exactly. There are so many different levels to what you can explore sexually, but there's also a person's mind having to be able to kind of grasp that concept. Because there are people, the majority of us are having straight vanilla sex, and that is not to be throwing shade. I'm not throwing shade.
It's a lot of vanilla out here, and it's different flavors, you know what I'm saying? Straight up.
Even vanilla, there's vanilla bean, French vanilla, there's that yellow vanilla, that white vanilla.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? So it's real talk. You have to have that conversation to get outside of the routine sex, to get outside of the birthday sex, she sucks my dick for my birthday, for our anniversary. You got to get outside of that. And I think a lot of marriages would do better if folks were talking about what they want to do, what they want to explore. Because, like, for example, you could get into a relationship with someone, and that person, let's say it's you, right? Let's say the guy, you get into a relationship with your girl, and you are digging her hardcore. You look at her, and you just, like, oof. And then you say to yourself, ooh, I would love to see another chick just climb all over her, just, ooh. Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. And you may not necessarily want to even be involved, although I don't know a guy who wouldn't want to, but you may just want to literally sit back and watch another woman on your girl because you think your girl is that sexy that you want to see a woman also enjoy your girl. Your girl might look at you like, the what? You crazy? I'm not a lesbian. Ain't got nothing to do with being a lesbian. Has nothing to do with being a lesbian. But this, again, is a conversation you got to have. This is another way of the two of you having a level of intimacy that just kind of strengthens, deepens the relationship. Because there is a certain amount of trust that has to exist when you have moments like that, whether it's you in a dungeon, flogging, beating, spanking, whipping, tying, whatever the case is.
That's interesting.
There is trust that has to exist. Otherwise, none of these things, sexual or non-sexual, none of that stuff is going to work and be successful. There has to be trust.
I have a question. Since you said that, while it's on my mind. Okay. When I'm in relationships, right, I am known as the aggressor when it comes to sex. My man never has to ask for sex from me. Now, when I was younger, he would always have to ask for sex, and I barely wanted to have sex. And guess what? They kind of lasted longer because you're not really getting the sex that you want. And a lot of married men that I talk to now, you know, they're like, shit, you know, you don't have sex like that at home. Those are like the women that they go after, the ones that's really not giving them sex. But me, I'm going to be the one that said, let's get it. You ain't got to say it. Every other night, I'm ready. I'm on there. You laying down sleep. I'm between your legs. Like, you know, is that too much? No, is that too much when you're with somebody? Okay. Should a woman allow a man to be the aggressor? Like, or you have to find, like, every relationship that I've gotten in, like, you know, it's been like, well, you know, you definitely, you know, I don't have to ask for sex. But that just kind of like, I don't know.
Let me ask you this.
Like, I'm doing too much.
No. First and foremost, you ain't doing too much. Let's just clear the air on that one. But let me ask you this question. Do you, upon occasion, want dude coming for you like a hungry dog? Because if you want that too, then you need to have that conversation. If you don't care, if he never comes at you like a hungry dog, then keep on doing what you're doing. And then maybe the only problem is dude can't keep up. But that's the question. Do you want him to come at you like a hungry dog?
It don't matter, but it's like, okay, I like especially when it's, okay, when I was with King K, like, you know, we lived together a couple times, and like, you ain't never, he never had to ask. Like, every other night, I'm on it. Sometimes back to back, I'm on it. And he would be like, no. Sometimes he would be like, just no. And I would be like, wait a minute. And that was his form of punishment to me. You know, I learned. And so I was like, you know, I wasn't with it. But it came with, he switched it up because I made it an issue. And I was like, look, I want to have sex, yada, yada. And then, you know, he was switching it up like, you know, hey, what's up? And when he switched it up at a time that I was kind of over it because I'm like, you using that as a tool to punish me, and I don't like that. So I was like kind of over it, over the situation, and then he was like, see, you don't want it like that. I'm like, you can't just come and try to give it to me when you want to. It's just, for me, it's like, look, I'm legit. Every other night, I'm ready. You know, mm-hmm. especially if it's good, because I'm not going to have somebody in my bed full time and it's not good to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't mm-hmm. I can't substitute sex.
Definitely got
I, can substitute, I can substitute a lot of things, but sex is not
right.
one. So,
right.
I don't know. Sometimes I just think, like, it's too much. And I was like, the next relationship I get in, I'm going to do it different and try to like
no,
not.
No, stop, please. The only thing I want you to do different is you really need to decide whether or not you want him to be aggressive from time to time. And if that's the case, let a dude know. And you might tell a person up front, listen, this is how I like to get down. I like to have it at least every other day, multiple times in that same day, if at all possible. Just put it out there up front. Because I thrive off of that sexual energy. And
that is true.
I would hate for you to dial it down because the person you're with can't keep up, can't, you know. And even with the dude, he may have to understand that maybe, okay, he don't feel like, he doesn't feel like giving it to you. But is he opposed to being the controller of your favorite toy? Because that's another thing that I'm big on. I like my toy. Sometimes I have my orgasm with him, and then I continue on with the toy. Because, you know, as long as
he
ain't mad, I ain't mad.
No, he wasn't really with – nah, he not with that.
And
it was to the point that he's so self-conscious. He would be, like, extra controlling to make sure I wasn't going nowhere else. And it's like, dude, if I got one good partner, I'm good. I don't need to do the
right.
whole variety situation. He wasn't with the threesomes, with the women. Like, he was old school. Like, definitely 100% old school. It's not happening. You know, no way, no how type situation. And it was okay. Like, now I like women. And I'm pregnant now. But it's a lot of things that, like, you can't do being pregnant, one.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes I just be like, you know, I just want to chill with me a good female. You know,
okay.
I mean, it's a little safer than a man while you're pregnant, you know. But I'm not
okay.
gay. Like, under no
okay.
circumstances will I say that I'm going to be
just
in a
full craving that you get every so often.
Yeah, like, there's no way. And so I don't like toys to that extent because, like, I like the real thing. I like
the
hardcore.
But it's to each his own, Miss Lovely Black. It's to each his own. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Remember,
right.
That's you.
Exactly. And
you know
I agree. So if you,
and Casey's
Lovely,
like, you know,
are not into toys, but you are definitely into that physical connection, again, just like with anything else, like when you said earlier, you know, dude has to come up, you know, dude has to be going where I'm going. It's the same thing with the sex. I think a lot of us who have a very high sex drive, and I don't, you know, there. I think there's a lot of women who say they have a high sex drive because maybe they was with somebody who wasn't doing it as much as they wanted to. But you don't get a lot of women who really, really, really honestly are going after it, who are, like you said, between the legs, warming that joint up, whatever, And so you have to stay true to that and have these conversations with people and tell them, this is where I'm at. I'm, like, dead serious. Don't tell me, yeah, you down, and then, you know, you're not. You know what I'm saying? It's because I dated a guy who I knew it wasn't going to work when I started talking about positions, and he was like,
wow.
No, I'm not really.
Positions? Positions?
Positions.
Yeah,
and when
that.
I started talking about toys, and he was like, yeah, no, I've never really dated anybody who had toys. I'm like, dang. This is, and to, in my mind, I'm talking, you know, positions and toys to me were basic. That was basic.
I got you.
Stuff.
That's the first level, right? That's phase one.
Right. So, and then he was like, yeah, I got this porn collection. I was like, ooh, can we watch? Nope.
That's dope. That's dope.
We
didn't,
we did not watch. So,
he said,
you know,
wait,
that was one thing I missed with my ex. We would definitely go
this. Hold on, real quick.
And
real quick. So he volunteered and said he had the ill collection, adult film collection, and you was like, yo, can we watch it? He was like, nah.
Yeah, no, he didn't want to share that. He didn't want to. And, you know, it's funny because I talked to another dude about that. Because
okay.
I didn't understand.
Talk about
because
it.
You've
about
got
it.
Women
talk
who are not
going to
watch porn with their man. So
okay. Okay.
I'm eager, hyped up, let's do it, right?
Mm.
It didn't make no sense to me that he didn't want to share that with me.
That's like music. Like, look, I'm into this type of music. You're like, all right, boom, you know. So, to each his own. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah. So, like I said, we're talking, these were basic things that were an indicator.
Okay.
And dude's super nice, mad nice, real good dude. Real good dude. Works hard, pays all his bills. He was generous. But that, I hate to say,
that's
was
a deal
breaker.
That's a passion right there. Yeah, that's the passion.
That was a deal breaker.
You know? Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, this version of me, dude would have lost his mind. His eyeballs would have probably popped out. Like, and he never got to see that this version of me. I'm not saying she didn't exist. She existed. But he couldn't get past the first level to get to the...
Okay, so let me ask you this, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the first level, what's the version of you now for the people out there? Like, what's your version now? Like, what's the next level or the new level right now? As far as where you're at.
Remember how you described yourself as black on my sexual rainbow?
Okay.
Yes, so I am a sadist. I like to inflict pain. Mm. I get off on inflicting pain. Now, I will also admit, under the right circumstances, I will receive pain. But, baby, that's so rare. That's rare. That's super rare. But I really, honest and truly get, like, you want to see me get giddy? You put on some bondage porn, oh my God, I will lose my mind. And let that joint be skin diamond.
I was going to ask you this too. You know, that's going to be like a little thing that I'm going to do with different guests that we get. So who is your favorite? And don't lose your train of thought, because we're going to get back to that. I don't want to lose where you were at right there. So put a bookmark there. But who is your favorite adult film actress at this time?
Okay, I get off on watching Skin Diamond, and let me tell you why. And let me be quick to say,
shout out to Skin
I had a
Diamond,
chance to meet
the people out there. She was on Showtime. I just wanted to say, for the people out here who don't know, Skin Diamond, she had like a little Showtime show too. You know, so
she was on this little Showtime show. It was really bad TV.
Okay,
but I watched it because she was on it.
Okay,
but let me first kind of throw out the disclaimer. I had a chance to meet the lovely Naomi Banks. She's absolutely delicious.
She's dope.
Absolutely
she's really
delicious.
Dope.
I just
shout
want to put
to
that
Naomi
out there
she's
before
dope.
I gush all over Skin Diamond. I'm gonna tell you what I like about her. What I like about her is when I watch her, I believe she's enjoying herself. That's what I like. Because, I mean, I'll be honest, she a little bitty thing and ain't a whole lot to her. So from that physique standpoint,
Yeah, okay.
But when I watch her in her scenes, and I've, you know, the women, men, groups, bondage, servitude, any and everything I've ever seen her do, I get excited because she seems to be genuinely enjoying it.
Yeah, she just flows with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you know, yeah, you could tell. I get it.
And that is why I'm a Skin Diamond fan. Big Skin Diamond
fan.
That's dope.
All right. So, like I said, I didn't want to, like, have you lose your train of thought. I just wanted to know.
I've already lost it. You took me all the way over.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, we were at, like, what you're into. I know you're from you.
Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
okay.
So yeah, I'm, and again, this is probably why I've decided to get into creating fetish videos and photos,
mm-hmm.
is because
from the director's point of view. Okay. I really do enjoy that.
I enjoy inflicting pain. I enjoy watching people have pain inflicted upon them. I went to a munch, and a munch is it's a gathering of people who are into BDSM, into the leather community, and scattered around the room will be these scenes in which people are doing whatever they've agreed to do in their scene, whether it's flogging, whether it's dripping wax, rope tying, whatever the case is. So I was at a munch, and it was a bunch of us sitting around talking, and we were, you know, everybody was sharing their toys. Oh, look, this is my toy. Oh, I made this toy. And we were all, you know, about six or seven of us just kind of talking and tossing toys, you know, passing toys around. And all of a sudden, there was this guttural sound, like this woman moaned, and you could tell the moan came from her throat and her chest. The room went silent, and everybody turned to watch. Folks, like, I literally saw people melting in their chair watching this woman being flogged and listening to the sound coming from her as the flogger hit her back each time. I think there were multiple orgasms in that room just from watching that.
That's deep.
Okay.
So,
one of the girls in the little group that I was talking to, when I first got to the munch, she was in that same position, but even she said, wow.
She said, okay, this was on another level, huh?
Yeah. So, like, that's kind of what gets me off. I've been to a few spots where I just literally sat back.
Oh, right, well, look, there's another thing.
Yeah, I'm
sorry, I was about to go.
Hold
on. No, don't lose. Hold on, the both of you.
Hold on, the both of you.
Okay.
We're coming around to our 8-minute countdown. So, Ms. Casey.
Okay.
Yes,
wanted to tell everybody how to find you, what you have out there, and all of the good stuff that they need to know about you.
Okay. So first and foremost, you can go to my website, which is caseycarterbooks.com, caseycarterbooks.com. On Twitter and Periscope, I am at Reed, R-E-A-D, Casey Carter. On Instagram, I am the Casey Carter Experience, and on Facebook, I am Casey Carter. All my stories are available on Amazon. If you go to my website, there are links on the website to the books. If you go to Amazon, you can search me out as Casey Carter, and you're going to come across a few Casey Carters. You want to look for the Casey Carter stories that have the colored backgrounds with the mask on them, because that's another one of my details, is all my stories have masks on the cover. I will be in the future coming with some video and pictures on something called nexocams.com. That's coming up soon, as well as clips and pictures on Clips for Sale.
Okay.
And you are definitely more than welcome to come on the show anytime you would like. And tell them about your show on Periscope. When does it air? How often?
Okay.
That information.
All right. So on Wednesdays at 10 p.m., I do a live show, Casey at Night. It's usually about an hour. first part of the show is conversation. This week I'm going to be talking about a new toy that's being introduced at AVN this week. I had a chance to test it out in Brooklyn in September, and they were kind enough to send me one to demonstrate to my social media people. So I will be demonstrating that this Wednesday, as well as reading an excerpt. So, again, you can catch me on Twitter or Periscope at Read Casey Carter, Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You'll be able to comment, and it's a lot of fun. I make it fun, and in most cases, just like here with y'all, where I started to drift off into another world, that often happens.
We chopped it out. This was good.
She's going to be reviewing a toy, so that got me. Just remind me.
Yeah,
that
I'm trying to.
If you go to my Twitter line now, I posted some pictures and a video of the toy in slow motion. Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to say.
I'm going to follow you.
Are you here in Atlanta, Casey?
I am in Atlanta. Yes, I am.
Shout out to ATLG. Y'all having all
the
fun down there. Y'all having all the fun down there. I got to get down there pretty soon. You'll see me in the next, couple months. It's time for another trip. Real quick, too, Casey, I know we only have a few minutes left, but when you were talking about the munch, I just want, for the listeners out there, if somebody's into that, where can they find that? How can you? That's like a little secret society. Eyes Wide Shut type stuff.
It is.
Going on.
And I'm going to tell you dead serious. I found out about this particular munch because someone invited me. If you go to meetup.com, some people post munch. They will post their munch on meetup.com. If you go on Facebook and search munch, you might find it there too. If you go
M-U-N-C-H?
M-U-N-C-H, exactly. You really have to find someone who's into that lifestyle because it really is a secret kind of thing.
That's true.
It's a secret gathering.
You don't want anybody there. You know what I'm saying? It's got to be like-minded individuals. Everybody.
Right. I mean, because it's not like you have to have a special invite. You just need to know somebody who goes so that you can find out where it is.
Yeah. No, that makes it hotter, too, because it's secretive. You know what I'm saying? You ain't up on this.
Right.
People know where to find you.
Oh, yeah. So real quick, people out there, definitely follow me on Twitter. It's the handle is MOBINNS. Also, follow me on Instagram. The handle is MOBINNS. Always tell people, my Instagram is personal, so just keep it respectful. Twitter, we can just get it popping, So Twitter, that's where I really just, flourish on my Twitter. But, like I said, just holler at me, talk to me, I talk back. Tell a friend and tell a friend, log on and listen. This is what we're doing every Sunday. Shout out to all the new listeners that came on board for this show. We're going to keep it moving for 2018. We're going to have much more shows coming up with just interesting guests like Miss Casey Carter here, her stories and her, what she's into, and we're just going to vibe. That's it.
Awesome. So if you guys will notice, we have new flyers. We're doing new promotion. We still have commercial slots available. I think it was $20, starting at $20.
Yes.
So contact us. You must have your own script or you must have your own audio commercial already put together. We can be reached at inquiries, the new Miss Lovely Black at gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram, the new Miss Lovely Black, the number one. On Twitter, it's Miss Lovely Black, the number one. That's MIZZLUVLIBLACK, the number one. And my website, the new Miss Lovely Black.com. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Miss Casey, we got to link up. Definitely link up.
Yes.
And tap into each other's worlds. We're right here in Atlanta together. I love your spirit. I love your energy. You're more than welcome to come here anytime you like. And I thank you very much for joining us tonight. Thank you, everybody. I hope you have an awesome week and be good. We'll see you same time, same place next Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for the love. Make sure you go pre-order Born to Be a Trap Queen. Have a great night, guys.
Peace.
Bye.